Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. Also, I'd like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact this show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can also reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk into the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, police, the Police Code of Silence 2. Last week we were interrupted. We had some callers that had a lot to contribute to the show. And I apologize for having to, end the conversation. But we're back again, and I hope you guys call back and others. So, just going to give you a brief description of, the show from last week, and we're going to try to move forward. We have a caller already. Just hold on for 1 minute. So, police must seem to be honest and trustworthy, among other things. Can we trust police who pledge to protect officers who break the law, intimidate, and violate citizens, etc.? Are we safe interacting with them or outside of the courtroom? Your safety, freedom, and your life may depend on how honest and how trustworthy a police officer is. The code of silence is protecting them off of offending officers, known as the code of silence. So, first, I want to thank all police officers who perform their duty in a professional, ethical, and honorable manner. Give your hand of applause. That's a hard job. I understand that with people, period. Police officer, school teacher, social worker, case manager, all those jobs are very difficult because you're working with a lot of strange people that you don't know, that they don't know you either. So, it appears that officers of the law have a culture that dictates that police cover the behavior of their fellow officers even if they're wrong. Violating the law, intimidating, stealing, endangering, assaulting, and murdering someone. That may sound a little outlandish, left out of left field, but that's documented. Where you have police officers just doing things that they really shouldn't do, and it's some cover up or something to slow the process down. Things like, just systemic, just a culture and police culture. So this culture perpetuates behavior that is in violation of the law and the duties of the police officer. It places police officers and civilians at risk. It places the police officer above the law. We do not want the community to lose respect for the police officer, and we do not want the police officer to disrespect the members of the community and those who interact. So we want the police officer to respect people coming in and out of our community, as well as the people in our community. That's all community. And I'm sure people would agree with that. So last week we talked about what the code of silence is based on some findings from the police legal officers section annual conference they had. It was a long litany of things that they attribute to the code of silence. 79% said that a law enforcement code of silence exists and is fairly common throughout the nation. So, you know, that's not just backing your partner. This is backing your partner's foul play. So it's different than having your partner's back. This is on another level. So let's give you these numbers just for people who may not have heard this. So 52% said that the fact a code of silence as it doesn't really bother them. So this was a question of 25 basic law enforcement academies from 16 states took part in the research by administering and collecting 1,016 confidential questionnaires completed by academy recruits. These guys just come out of academy, so they don't even have experience yet that you might think be necessary for someone to adopt this code of silence. It's saying that this thing from the gate is this, with some 79% saying that the code of silence exists. That's come out of the academy. 24 said the code of silence is more justified when excessive force involves a citizen who's abusive. 46% said they would not tell on another officer for having sex on duty. 23% say they wouldn't tell on another cop for regularly smoking marijuana off duty. So that's the code of silence. Basically, the same crimes that a civilian may be engaged in, a police officer is just, you know, right on that, get a pass on the police officer side, you know. I see we have a couple of callers. I'm going to go right to, because I think we ended on the situation with Laquan, the brother that was shot, the young brother that was, he's out of order. He was, I think he had some mental health issues and he was intoxicated or something like that. I don't know. But what happened in Chicago is that the police officer wrote a report saying that this brother lunged at him with a knife in his hand. He did have a knife in his hand. So what basically happened was that the other police officers supported this guy's report about the incident. The video for the of the actual shooting was withheld for a year. That's ridiculous. That shouldn't have happened. And Mr. Laquan McDonald was shot 16 times. Most of the times that he got shot, he was laying on the ground. So only one officer fired. You know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with that story. It happened in, I think 2015 or something like that in Chicago. It seems like Chicago has a very serious problem. I'm not taking away from any other, because a life is a life. If it's one life, you know, that's a problem in your city or your town, you know. But it seems like Chicago had a big problem, you know. So even though the police brass had seen the video, knew what was on it, each of the reports of these officers was approved all the way up the chain of command. That's that code of silence. I'm going to cover your play. Okay, you shot this guy 16 times. Well, number one, this 16 times period is red flags to be going up. That's something you can't cover. Especially you shooting a guy 16 times that doesn't have a gun, not shooting back at you. So it's on videotape, so I don't understand why they didn't take it go another direction with this year, because it kind of, that seems to me that following the code caused officers that didn't shoot to get in some serious trouble. So, you know, so their reputation, their livelihood, and their freedom is at stake because they supported a police officer who wasn't doing what he's supposed to do. That's not a police officer's job. So are police responsible for their partners? I guess that's another question you might want to ask. If I'm a police officer and the law, I'm supposed to have an intervention there. But if I'm a police officer and I see another police officer breaking the law, am I expected to intervene immediately as I would be a drug deal going down between two citizens? Guys exchanging drugs, money, drugs, whatever. Police officer on the scene is going to take some money off the top of a drug bust, take some drugs, stick in his pocket so he can push back on the street to sell, maybe for himself, maybe use himself, I don't know. But is it my job as a police officer to police my partner and the rest of the police in my unit or my division, whatever, you know, or a guy that's not in my division, you know, in my town, but he, you know, is that my job as a police officer? How would that work? But we have incidents where police officers have actually complained about other police officers. So we have from Mr. Juan Gonzalez, our interview with Amy Cadman and Shannon Spaulding. Two Chicago police officers say they have faced retaliation and suffered from PTSD since they blew the whistle on a gang of their fellow cops who were taking bribes from drug dealers in the projects in Chicago. So one of the whistleblowers was Shannon Spaulding, who this reporter, Jamie Cadman, documented, you know, what happened and how the cold of silence, you know, impacted on her life. So the other part, the partner was Danny, I can't even say his last name, Echeverra, something like that. Echeverra sounds like that. So they spent 5 years working with Chicago Police Department and the FBI in a case, only to be sidelined, outed as informant, threatened, and eventually forced out of the police department. These cops that blew the whistle on police officers. Now, I mentioned this story about this movie. It was a movie about a real cop named Serpico. I don't know if that's his real name or not. Al Pacino played this guy, and he kind of went went the same route. And then, you know, these guys were slow to respond or failed to respond to him in a situation where he was caught in the door and subsequently shot in the face. You know, Serpico eventually had to, he's a New York cop, and I think he's a narcotics police officer. And he basically had to leave, you know, because being a cop for him basically became a death sentence after he ratted out his co-workers, his fellow police officers. And these police officers, this is a real-life situation also, even though what I said was a movie about a real-life situation. These are police officers who were basically just treated like their lives didn't count once they broke out. Supervisors, the commanders of narcotics, the chief of organized crime made it clear they did not want these officers working in units they controlled. What a coincidence. You know, I'm not surprised after watching that movie, Serpico, because there's a lot of dirt going on. And narcotics, that's a unit you can be very lucrative for police officers, money-wise, drug-wise, if you want to sell drugs, put drugs on the street, if you want to extort money from people, as these guys were doing in Chicago projects, extorting the drug dealers, planting stuff on them, or, you know, planting drugs on them and sending them to jail. I think he was doing stuff like that, too. So, I mean, like, that's crazy. And then stated Sergeant Ronald Watts and members of his TAC team who worked directly underneath him that were imposing what they call on the street a WAP tax. So WAP is the king. He's in charge. And his tax is the money he demanded from drug dealers. This is the whistle she blew. So, you know, the people's livelihood she's messing with also. You know, I mean, look at it, you know, I'm not saying it's right for police to put drug dealers, but she's messing with, she's impairing their ability to make money, economics. So usually when you throw a wrench in somebody's economics, they get kind of hot with you. They're not going to be your friend after that. So basically, he's distorting the drug deals, receiving money from drug dealers that ran different drug lines in the housing project and surrounding areas. So that's a lot of money. In exchange for that money, they were guaranteed protection from prosecution and arrest. And I say that again, they guaranteed protection from prosecution and arrest. This is a police officer doing this. In addition to that, the allegations were that crew of rogue officers under the command of Mr. Watts were also planting narcotics on innocent individuals and falsifying police reports, arresting them, putting them into prison for false allegations. There's also allegations of physical violence, of course, and being beaten if they didn't want to comply with this tax. That sounds like the mob to me. Sounds just like the mafia. Any one of them, black, Irish, Italian, that's what that sounds like. Sounds like the police is the biggest gang in town, as well as warrantless seizures, kicking in doors and going through people's apartments, stealing everything that wasn't nailed down. So these supervisors were relaying to them, to her, that the officers on the scene and his unit will not back you up. You're on your own. So you out there trying to make a drug bust, you just like you out there by yourself. And anybody knows that's not a good situation for a police officer to try to arrest a guy that's making a lot of money, a lot of guns, has people with him with guns, and you're just all by yourself. That's not a good scenario. It's not a good look. So as they, you know, said to her, she's in a lot of danger, and went as far to say, you're going to end up in a box, and I'm going to be the one knocking on the door and telling your daughter, you're coming home in a box. That's the quote, but he said something like that. So, you know, that's what happened to a police officer. So we're talking about the code of silence. You know, if that's happened to a police officer, imagine. You know, how strong this thing is with a civilian. They don't care about you. They don't care about their own people. You know, what about a police officer? Another, we have another instance here in Philadelphia where we have a disgraced ex-narcotics officer. The star government witness, Jeffrey Walker, was sentenced to 3.5 years in prison in U.S. District Judge Lobrano sentenced him. Walker said, was consistent with describing rampant corruption in Philadelphia narcotics squad. Seems like narcotics might be the hardest squad difficult to avoid corruption. Therefore, the code of silence would be very prevalent there. Chinnair is prevalent also. I'm just saying, I don't know. You know, I don't know if all Philadelphia narcotics agents are, you know, on the take or stealing anything like that, but that seems like a very lucrative field to be in because you come across guys that might have, you may come across a guy that has $2,000 in his pocket. You might take that and walk. So, 2 months ago, the jury chose not to believe the testimony of Walker on drug dealers who level accusations of fraud. Basically, he ratted on police officers for the same reason, similar to, he pleaded guilty to robbing a drug dealer while on duty, as I just said, you know. So you went through, you know, imagine you're a police officer, you work hard, you risk your life for people, and then you went into this 16-year-old guy, he's got a pocket like $2,000 on him, $1,000 on him. And all he wants to do, he might have a couple of bags of dope, all he wants to do is get away from you. So that's a $2,000 get out of jail card. Take his dope, crush on the ground, put the $2,000 in your pocket, something nice. Buy your wife something nice. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just trying to put myself in a place of a police officer who might do these things. So he might feel like his job's not compensating him enough. And this is compensation. He might be disgruntled just with his salary, which means he shouldn't be a police officer also. And if he's going to steal from drug dealers, he shouldn't be a police officer. Don't get me wrong. So I want to also have another incident where detective alleged that a code of silence existed within the Philadelphia department. This, I found this to be very interesting. So this is a female cop. She claimed in her lawsuit about gender discrimination, a hostile work environment, which is consistent hostile work environment, and retaliation at the department. So those two things are the hostile work environment and retaliation in the department are two things that are going to be consistent. In this case, we have gender discrimination. So the judge, this lady charged current Chief Inspector Carl Holmes of harassment and sexual assault. That's pretty serious for a police officer to do something like that. People are people and they make mistakes and things like that, but when you become a police officer, we expect something from you, and we don't expect you to do certain things. So sexual harassment and sexual assault, a police officer, the alleged assault occurred during a midnight shift at Holmes' office in 2007, according to Vandegrift. A possibly intoxicated Holmes summoned her into his office and said that he wanted to know how, this is what it says here, wet she was. Holmes digitally penetrated her during the encounter, according to her testimony. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it happened. The police officers have pistols on his side. That's instant, you know, that's crazy. Anyway, Officer Krista Hayburn in 2008 accused Holmes of sexually assaulting her inside his city-owned car outside of a bar in 2006. So, this is the same police officer, another female officer, and this guy, the police officer, he's a chief inspector, sexually assaulted. So, code of silence is, you know, covering up for this guy. And Holmes did not assault her. He did, however, admit that he engaged in sexual activity with a civilian in the car on two separate occasions. According to investigation records, officials failed willfully or no to ask the name of the civilian, nor did Holmes offer that information. Holmes was demoted from inspector to captain for having sex with a taxpayer in a taxpayer-funded car, though again, and not because of Hayburn's allegations. So basically nothing happened. The police officer alleged that he did something, assaulted her sexually. Nothing happened, but something happened because he admitted to having sex with a civilian in the car, even though he didn't get a name or anything like that. Kind of strange because you got a victim in one case and you don't have a person or a victim in the other case. It's kind of odd. Anyway, he soon regained his position through arbitration. However, Police Commissioner Charles Ramsey subsequently promoted Holmes to Chief Inspector over Philadelphia Public Schools in 2012, sparking outrage amongst parents, giving Holmes disturbing records. Philadelphia now knows beards are reputation. It's a public errand, and recent weeks has staggered the city's criminal justice system and shaken a police department that had hoped a decade of reform would end years of episodic corruption scandal. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's been covering it up, you know, by the, you know, through the buddy system and the police system and things like that. I want to let callers know you have to press 1 if you want to talk. If you're calling and you want to speak, please press the number 1. So Andre Tarr ran when he saw Beard coming on a snowy day in November in 1987. Beard was faster. I told you never to run from me, Beard told Bonaparte, now 27, who had been arrested once on a drug possession charge. Beard took out his regulation flashlight. Bonaparte recalled hammering at him until he bled. Then Beard and his partner drove Bonaparte to the 39th District Station, producing evidence for one or more speed arrests. A tiny amount of cocaine, Bonaparte insisted, was not his. So then you got that code of silence and work right in action right there. This happened a long time ago. That's how old this is. It's probably as old as the police department. So it was the standard whine of the perpetrator. I ain't do nothing. I ain't what I do, right? This guy talking about he didn't do anything, but this time it was true. So Bear was among a corrupt cell of uniformed police officers in the 39th District who shook down drug dealers, beating them, planting evidence, and trumping up charges against criminals and innocent victims, most of them poor and black. The last February by federal grand jury for violating the civil rights of more than 40 Philadelphians and stealing more than $100,000 in cash and property, supplementing their income. Beard and 5 other officers have pleaded guilty and will be sentenced at the end of the month. So the police department did do something about this. But these guys were allowed, were able to function because of the code of silence. Their admissions have overturned 60 criminal cases, including Bonaparte, and are threatening hundreds more, setting off legal tremors inside Philadelphia's courtroom and reinforcing long-standing complaints in the city's poor minority community, the most vulnerable of people in the city, that police corruption and abuse were out of control. So now you have corruption and the code of silence costing the city of Philadelphia eventually lawsuit money. So from Jeffrey L. Boney in Houston on forward, this is a story from about this incident. This is from Houston, and I want to had a caller calling in. I want to say you need to call in on the number that I gave you guys at the beginning of the show, 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. Please press number 1 to speak. So we got a lot of corruption that's being covered up. So what say you, my listening public, my listening callers? What say you about the corruption and the police code of silence? Well, how do you think the young lady called last week said basically we should do something about it? And I was hoping that she would call back because I wanted to ask, you know, what course of action of doing something about it would the community be left with, which she'd be speaking about. You know, I've heard had conversations with other people that said that something, we need to do something about it on the spot. So anybody want to share? A detective has alleged that the code of silence exists within the Philadelphia Police Department by Dustin Slaughter. So we have caller. Okay, welcome to Provocative Thought. 4296.
What's up, Carlton June, though?
What's up, June? How you doing?
All right, man. Hey, the police cannot police themselves, man. I mean, they need some type of a citizen advisory board or something like that. I mean, one of them open their mouth, they'd be ostracized by the rest of them. So, therefore, you know, they don't even tell on each other. It's crazy
right. That
a criminal can do something, same thing a police officer can do, and get arrested for it. But here's a police officer that's sworn to uphold the law. Now, he turned a blind eye to it because this is a partner or somebody that he worked with. I mean,
right.
I don't understand that. That's kind of crazy. You in the wrong
right. Business
for that type of stuff. But, I mean, that's what they do. And a lot of them fearful to even come out. Some of them afraid to say something. And some of them just wouldn't say something, if they like depending on it, because that's why they're in it for stuff
right. Like
that. Wrong, man. And they can't police themselves. They can't. They cannot police themselves.
Right.
There's nothing that'll be done that will punish them for what they're doing. They are commanding officers or this sergeant or whoever. They don't do anything. I mean, it's a problem that's been going on forever. They need some time. They need some type of citizens board that will overlook them and deal and hash out punishment if they've been found to do such stuff.
Right.
That's the only way it's going to stop. They're not going to stop themselves. This has been going on forever, and it's going to continue to go on.
So, it's two police officers there. So if my partner is beating the hell out of somebody, right?
Yeah.
Or GT, should I intervene? Like, if you remember Rodney King, should some of those police officers stop that?
Yeah. Yes, they should have. But here's the thing. If I'm with my partner and he's beating the hell out of somebody, and we not even police officers, I say, hold up, man. I mean, you done beat the hell out of him. Don't you think that's enough? I mean, hold up. Pull up. And you got police officers won't even do that? Just because that's your partner? I mean, the guys, you done beat him to a pulp. Well, what else you need to be done to him? All you had to do was arrest him. A lot of them sometimes arrest him and then beat the hell out of him. I mean,
right. What's
the point?
Right.
If you want to uphold the law, you got somebody under arrest, arrest them, and then that's the end of it. Oh, I got to beat the hell out of them. Why my partner have to do it? Or why do I have
right.
to do it and my partner allow me to do it?
Right.
I'm in the wrong business. If I want to be a gangster, what I put a badge on for it?
That's why.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't understand that. You're in the wrong business for that kind of stuff. And for police officers to not even open their mouth and speak up about it. Look, I can't be a part of that. Then you don't even hear nothing like that.
Right.
They don't say nothing about that. They don't speak.
Right.
They don't speak on it. You don't hear a police officer come out and say, "Look, man, I'm tired. I'm fed up, man. These guys are beating. I mean, look, a lot of these guys deserve what they get. But once you got somebody under arrest, no matter what he did, he's under arrest. Okay, that's
right.
it. We ain't got to beat the hell out of him because I'm in a bad mood or this is what I want to do. Because he may have been getting away with something forever, so now I'm going to beat the hell out of him while I got the opportunity to, and not be held accountable for it. Well, I mean, he's just as criminal as the guy that he's locking up.
Right, but he don't get locked up, though.
That's what I'm talking about. I said he's just as criminal. The only difference is he's not being held accountable for it.
Right. If it was a guy on videotape body slamming a guy in handcuffs and filled up, a week or two ago. You know, videotape. He picked him up like he was a kid and threw him down to the ground. Could have broke his neck.
And society as a whole got to hold him accountable, too, because people see it. There's no outcry. There's unless it's somebody in their family, and then they want to get upset about it. But, I mean, if it's wrong, it's wrong no matter whose family it's being done to. Police officers.
No matter who it's being done to also, right?
Huh?
No matter who it's being done to. Once you have somebody in handcuffs, why are you trashing them?
That's what
right?
I mean. A man wouldn't do that anyway. A man wouldn't do that
right. Anyway.
You know, if I had to deal with somebody, I had to deal with them straight up. Now, once he's handcuffed and under arrest, I mean, I don't make me more of a man stomping him and beating the hell out of him while he's like that. That make me more of a coward. I would feel some type of way about that. Beating
right.
you while you down and tied up, handcuffed, with hand behind your back, or somebody holding you, and while I'm kicking you and hitting you. Come on, man.
Right.
That's what they used to call fair ones. That's what fair ones was all about. You know
right.
what I mean? That's why we did that. But I don't understand it. I don't understand it, man. And the people that sworn to uphold the law, they do it. And I mean, I don't see how they can do it and get away with it, because it's just as criminal as a criminal doing it.
Right.
For sure. You know. And you have high ups who are allowing them to do it and get away with it. You see it on the news. There's no hue and no cry. Nobody be held accountable for it, so there's no reason for them to stop doing it. I mean, they get
right.
away with it.
Right.
You can't turn on the TV and not seeing a cop beating the hell out of somebody. And this is a famous saying. Well, you don't know what he did before the cameras came on. Well, no matter
right.
what he did before the cameras come on, once you got him subdued, that's the end of it.
End of it.
That's the end of it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the end of it. And it should be, but it's not. Until they be held accountable for it and something be done, but they're not gonna stop doing it. Until they be held accountable for it, until there's some type of law or rule that says they can't do it, and if they do it, they get punished for doing it. That's the only way they'll stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's a law that says that they're not supposed to assault people or intimidate and assault people.
Nobody's supposed to do that, but I'm saying they
right.
get away with it.
Right, they get away with
we know
it.
Them, but they do it anyway, and they get away with it.
Right.
People allow them. Judges allow them. They
right.
superiors allow them to get away with it. And as long as that happens, they don't keep doing it.
So they can't police
as long
themselves,
as they
and we need a citizens of group to a non quasi-military group to monitor the police officers.
You have to.
And
that's the only way.
Right.
They can't police themselves, and they are policing themselves, and look at the outcome.
Right. Because
they're
I
not being held accountable for nothing.
Right. I read about a case that happened in 87.
You can go back further than that, man. And they
right.
they can't police themselves.
Right.
And they don't police themselves very well. They're allowed to get away with whatever they're doing. They have a reason for doing it.
Right.
They did it because X, Y, Z. And all of it is against the law. It's only against the law if me and you did it.
Right.
They can do it and get away with it.
Right.
It's still criminal, no matter who's doing it.
Right. Right. So,
you know, I mean, it's a shame that they allowed to do that. It's a shame if anybody was allowed to, you know, just openly beat somebody, have somebody on the ground or handcuffed, or however you have them down, four or five people. How many people do it take to arrest one person anyway? I mean, it don't take
right.
a bunch of people to, you know, to beat the heck out of somebody. I mean, come on, man. Well, I'm telling you, some cops, back in the day, you had some real cops that, you know, they didn't need all that to arrest
right.
you. They arrest you, and that'd be the end of it. They ain't got to
right.
beat the heck out of you. I mean, if you wanted a little rumble, one of them, or they kindly take them cuffs off. You want to, you know, do a little fisticuff type thing, or they'll holler at you later on when they get off duty, or they'll take the cuffs off you if you want to fight right then and there. But I mean,
right.
as far as like throwing you down on the ground, handcuffing you, and beating the hell out of you like that, I mean, if they were real men back then, they didn't do that. They didn't do that.
Right.
Man. But they do it now.
That might
you know,
speak to the caliber of person that allowed to join the police force. Maybe they need more screening. Better
sure, because they just as criminal as the guys they beat, man. When they show that, they showing that they're just as criminal as the person that they supposed to be arresting, as the criminals that they are pursuing. They just as criminal. They committing assault in front of everybody.
Right. But
on camera.
You, they're just an arrest. You're just an arrest, so it requires me to use more force to subdue you. That's the way that story goes.
Yeah, I'm supposed to beat the hell out of you. Like you stole something from me, and you know, murdered somebody in my family. All I'm supposed to do is get you under arrest, and that's the end of it. I'm supposed to try to beat the hell out of you and stomp you and kick you and bust you all upside the head. You down on the ground, not going anywhere, handcuffed. Right. I done beat the hell out of you to get you handcuffed. Now you're handcuffed, I'm still beating you. Well, what's the purpose of that?
I don't know. That's what we're talking about, you know, in terms of the code of silence. Why are police officers allowing that to happen? Even if you're not one of the guys that do that, why would you allow somebody else to do that? Why are you allowing this guy to be that way?
There you go. So that speaks to your caliber.
Right.
And your character. And your character. Because, I mean, you're just as guilty as the person is doing. You're not trying to stop it. You're not saying nothing to them about it. You allow them to go on. You're filing a partner in it. You're just as guilty. You're just as culpable as the person is doing it.
Just as civilians, right? Two guys walk up to one guy. One guy beats him down near to death. Guess who gets charged with that?
That's
both
right. There you go. And all you got to do is just be there with him.
That's right.
The same thing as commission of a crime anyway. If you're there with them, you get the same charge.
Right.
But what makes it different for them? Your partner beating the hell out of somebody. You're not trying to stop him. You're not intervening. He's overdoing it. And you're just as guilty as him. You allow him to do it.
Right.
And they don't say nothing about it. You don't hear no police officers speaking out about it. And it's only a problem to the people that's getting beat or the community that don't like it because they know it's not right. You would think you would have more officers who deal with it on a daily basis would be upset and say, look, man, that's not what I got in on the force for. This is not what I got into this for. This is not right, man.
Right.
It's not cool. But it is cool as far as they're concerned. They act like it's cool. They don't say nothing about it or they don't try to do nothing about it. So that tells me that they can't or they're not willing to police themselves. So that means you have to take it out of their hand. And somebody else that's not a part of the police force, some type of civilian board, would have to handle that and mete out punishment.
Right.
That's the only way to stop it. That's the only way that stuff will stop. Until I have man, we're going to continue to do it.
Okay, we have another caller on 3-6. Go on, you can hold on, Jim. Don't let the next caller in. Welcome to Provocative Talk.
Hey, this is Keith.
Keith, what's up?
Hello? Hey, what's up?
Yes.
How you doing, Jim?
Hey, what's up, man?
I just want to say I think that the real people who needs to call in so that you can talk about this with the other side, you know, they won't be calling in. They'll just be hearing from everybody else that who are not police officers. It'd be real good if you could have some police officers come in and give you their perspectives and things like that. But anyway, what I want to say is that I think we need to do more, what I want to say, like maybe like merging of the police and the community they're serving, like having like events where people can kind of like meet each other and kind of get to know who people are.
So merging, you
when
said.
When come
merging.
In contact, say that again?
You said merging.
Yeah, maybe that's not the right word, but
interaction. You want more police interaction with the community that's not of a criminal nature, right? Got
it. Right. Correct. Program, I think that's excellent. And getting out there, getting to know the kids and stuff like that. But, you know, they need to have more things. And also, like, get out those vehicles and walk around and get to know people, you know, who you're walking around with, you know, people in the neighborhood. You get to see them, talk to them, maybe shake hands or something like that. So that's kind of know who you're dealing with.
Right. The idea to know the people in the community that you're You know, I know coming up, police, you know, was stopping people who had nothing to do with nothing.
Right.
You know, and they were getting the same treatment.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah.
You're right.
You should.
But you know what's frustrating? You know what's frustrating, man, that I see? That you can have police officers that can come to this community and police in this community, and when something happens, and it may get out of hand, and they may beat the hell out of somebody, and nothing happens. But I tell you what, if that same thing was happening like that, so I put it like this here. You have a young black officer that got on the force, and he was stationed in the suburbs. You went out in the suburbs, or he went out in a prestigious area, and he started beating the hell out of somebody like that, I guarantee the hue and the cry would be, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't be able to do it. He may do it one or twice, and that'd be the end of it. Because if the hue and the cry would be so loud, man, that he wouldn't be police officer soon long. He mess around and be wearing prison guard. But what I don't understand is how they would allow that same type of mentality with somebody to come out from another area, get on the force, come into your area, and everybody is suspect to them. Because when you're a police officer, I guess unless you're another police officer, you're a suspect.
Right.
You know, they had to look at you a certain kind of way because that's their job. But, I mean, it's just crazy to me how they allow certain. I'm on the police force, and you my partner. I don't care what your nationality is. Once we got somebody under arrest, I'm going to say something to you because it's in me as a man. I can't jump on a man and stomp and beat his brains out, man, while he's down, you know what I mean, and he's subdued. I don't get nothing out of that.
Right.
And I wouldn't get nothing out of you was doing it. I would have to pay, hold up, man. I mean, what else have you got to do? The man is under arrest. We got him. Until somebody think like that and act like that, this stuff ain't going to stop, man. And the fools in our community allow anybody to come into this community and do whatever. But the same type of mentality don't exist out of the community. You can't go out here and do that foolishness. They can't go somewhere else and police the way they police here. They wouldn't be able to get away with it. But they allow anybody and their mother to come into our community and do that to them. I don't understand it, man. I don't understand how they could allow it to happen. What kind of men are they to allow something like that? And don't speak on it, don't say nothing about it. And I mean, if they do, they're keeping it hush-hush. Who they saying it to? Because it definitely ain't working.
Right.
So I don't care if I was a police officer, what I was. I had to speak to my partner about that whole, man, you make me look bad. Now, you make me look like a sucker or a chump. The man is under arrest. How much more we got to beat the man? I mean, we got him. No matter what he did, once let the courts deal with him. He's under arrest. That's our job. Now let's take him in and let the system deal with him. Ain't it our job to assassinate him, beat him to death?
Right.
But that's what they do. And as long as they keep doing a lot of doing, I mean, they allow anything to happen in the community anyway.
Right.
It's just other communities, they wouldn't allow that, and they don't allow it. That's why you don't see it. You don't hear it.
Right.
These fools
in
our force, they let anything happen in our community. They don't care.
Right. Okay.
So let change stay the same.
So we need some stand-up police officers who, I want to take it further than that and say, before you even get in the car to go out on a beat, let your partner know how this thing is going to go down and interacting with the neighborhood and the people in the community, suspect, guilty or not, how you're going to treat people. So let them know what you're about. Let them know, you know, you're not tolerating shooting people that's unarmed, beating people up with handcuffs on, giving them that rough ride that they give sometimes in the van so they can get hurt up. I don't know if they can give you that now. The vans I see now, they look kind of crazy than they did back in the day. Because it looks like there's almost no room to move around in there. But anyway, but purposely trying to hurt somebody. You know, you just defend yourself at all costs. You know, defend yourself. But, like you said, to a point, And that's for everybody, really. And once you subdue somebody, no need to further, you know, do any damage to them, especially a police officer. You want the respect of the community, you're providing services. You don't want to be looked at as a boogeyman, you know, then you need to show the community that you do respect them. We have a caller on 3544. Welcome to Provide for the Thought.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
I just want to say I certainly agree with the last caller, and I think that the community also needs to stand together and support to stand against the brutality and to not to remain silent, because oftentimes, although many times is out of our hand, out of the community's hands, but the community must take a stand, maybe not physically, but civically, and say no more, no more of this. The same way the other communities do, we must take that stand, because I know that when I've spoken to different people, various different people, because they're comfortable with a job, a house, and or a car, they don't speak up about various different things regarding police brutality or things regarding police abuse. So our community also has to just stand together against this. So, and the community has to not just stand there and say, oh, okay, this is happening in our community, and that's just the way it is.
Right.
So I think we have to. It's going to come a time when the community is going to have to say, this is where, who stands where. Either you stand together or you don't. And for those that stand together on the issues, then this is where we do. And those that don't, then get out of the way, because we're going to have to police ourselves. We certainly are against those that are there to harm us.
You're
and
right.
That's the way that's what it's going to come down to, because we are not going back to those days where we're trying to build something up and they're going to come in and tear it down. Nobody's going to come in and tear it down. Because we are going to build it up. We are going to build up our communities and raise our children and have a safe place. And no police, no president, no one else is going to come in and kill our people, tear down our communities, or do anything. And even our own people, if they're going to remain silent, then they're going to have to get out of the way. And that's where it's going to come down to. And you know what I'm talking about. And that's those Uncle Toms, those people that want to be quiet because they're either scared or they have some connection with something or they're getting something out of the deal. So if that's what their position is, then they have to be removed.
Right.
And that's when it comes to we have to police our own community. And that's what it's going to come down to.
You know, I don't know if you heard the part when I was thinking about the code of silence. It's even had an effect on the police officers who break the code. They're being threatened. This one situation where, you know, this lady said she was framed, actually, by the police department, you know, because she was an outstanding police officer until she decided to accuse two or put in a lawsuit against the police department for discrimination.
Oh, yeah, well, that's been happening forever. You know, that's been happening forever.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying about policing ourselves, because the police are there to surveillance, actually, on us. They don't, okay, they're not, I mean, in some cases they're there to help us, but in all honesty, I never call the police to help me. I mean, honestly, really, because I know that when they come, they're coming aggressively, I personally feel, to hurt. They're coming just to put the yellow sticker or tag. They're never coming in time to help. The response time is very long. And it's never to help. We are under surveillance in our communities. If it's been like that for such a long time. If
right.
anybody thinks that they're there to serve and protect, then they are being misinformed.
Right. Okay.
So I hope we can get back to protect and serve, but I believe that we as a people, as a community, are going to have, at some point, especially with this attorney general that we have now, we as a people are going to have to police ourselves. He's going back to mandatory minimums. He's taking us backwards.
So does that
private
mandatory
prison,
does that go for police officers mandatory?
No, with the prosecutors, but the orders for the police officers are to arrest the people, and then the prosecutors are to give them mandatory minimums for those little crackerjack little crimes.
Right. That's a possibility.
And then you got the private prisons that's making the money.
Right.
When we had moved away from that.
Right. Okay, we have 60 seconds.
So it's about
to
follow the money.
So what? How does the community, fight the cul-de-sac? How we do that?
Well,
by speaking out like we're doing now, speaking out about it. Don't be silent. Open our mouths. See what's happening.
Yeah.
Speak on it and move on it.
Yeah.
With it.
And speak against the people that don't speak out about it.
Right.
Speak to those that don't speak about it. Call them out.
There you go.
Okay, y'all heard that, listening audience? Being called out to step up, to speak out. Keep your eyes open. Don't turn your head away from things because you're comfortable. The sister said.
Yeah.
Okay. We're off the air, Ashley. But, you know, you had a point there. You know, people need to step up, you know, speak out and call people on it, you know, call people's hands. Exactly what it needs to happen. That's a start. Because that's an uphill climb from what I'm seeing, because it's deep. It's not just the officer to officer. It's that superior and that superior superior. You know? But in the case of the crime McDonald, they held the tape for a year. The videotape of him being shot. He got shot 16 times. On the ground mostly.
And where is
he
when the crime?
The police officer. Huh? He's in Chicago on the street. But, you know, only one police officer shot. And he shot 16 times. You can't justify shooting anybody 16 times.
And how is he allowed to even get away with it? I mean, he should have been a prosecutor for that. But they, guess what?
Yeah.
They don't care. Look who he's shooting. Look who he's killing. They don't care.
Right.
If we don't care,
right.
They definitely don't care.
Right.
And the statistics show that more police officers are killed by white people than black people. But they don't talk about that.
No.
They just want to talk about black people killing police officers. But in reality, white people kill more police officers than black people.
Well, that's an interesting statistic.
And it has always been that way.
Always. But we have to police ourselves, and people got to speak up. And, I mean, when you put something out there on Facebook about someone has been shot and a teenager was roughed up just for riding their bike and was mistaken identity, people don't even want to look at it, say anything about it, because of their own politics or they're comfortable or they're afraid. It's foolishness until it hits home for them.
Right.
And that's where what I'm talking about policing ourselves, because it goes back to way back to slavery with the Uncle Toms and the field niggas and the house niggas. Now I'm serious.
I know you are. So am I. You're right. It's not new. This mentality is not new. You're right about that.
And, you know, the origin of the police department wasn't to protect and serve. It was surveillance and to keep the slave population intact.
Yeah.
That's the origin of the police department.
Yeah. That's how they came to be. That was their function.
Right.
Yeah. And that Jeff Sessions, that's our top cop. He's out to definitely put as many people of color in these private prisons as he can. And our police officers who are supposed to protect and serve, they're just being the lackeys to lock them up, give them to the prosecutors who send them to the private prisons that make the money. And the black people don't own those private prisons. It's the white people in those rural city the counties and cities that need that money for their little cities and whatever, so that they can live. And they're making what, $10,000 a month per prison, per person, excuse me.
Right.
And that's how they're getting paid. And so they went from picking cotton off of us to prisons. So slavery never ended.
Right.
Building more prisons than colleges.
You can't be a slave. The Fifth Amendment allows you to be a slave if you're incarcerated.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
There's a video of a movie out on 13th. Everybody should watch that.
What's
That's
it called?
Right, and the,
13.
And the police officers should be ashamed of themselves when they participate in that kind of foolishness.
That's what I was saying. I don't understand it. I mean, I don't understand it. As a man, they should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, come on, man.
That's right. The brother that spoke earlier, you know, he was correct. Once you got the person for the crime, you got them. Okay, lock them up. You don't have to beat them up, shoot them, kill them. I mean, you know, even if you have to shoot a person, you don't have to shoot to kill. There's a shoulder, there's a leg. I mean,
what they say about that is when the police officer draws his weapon, it's to use deadly force. That's where they're trained. That's their training.
But that wasn't how they used to be trained.
That's how they train
but
now. That's what I get.
Because they're punks and they're scared. You know, they used
sometimes
to use
weapons. And half the time, they shooting people that they're shooting, not even armed. I mean, come on, man. Why do I need to pull a gun out on you? So that's you, and you don't have a gun. Now, that's a challenge to me. I don't care how big and bad you think you is. If I'm a police officer and you have to be placed under arrest, and you don't have no gun, or you going under arrest. Trust me. I ain't got to shoot you to get you under the knee. You'll be arrested. I ain't got to shoot you 15 times. Jump on you with 30 people. I'm gonna show you that I lock you up, and that's a testament to my manhood. I won't have to use 40 people to jump on you and beat your ass to death and shoot you 30 times. What does that prove? That how much coward I am? That don't make me a man.
Thank you. You got a baton. You got a taser. I mean, you were taught hand to hand combat. Come on. You need to go back to training.
They need to learn some hand-to-hand combat. That's not. They don't get enough of that.
You need to go back to training. If I was the commander, I would be checking every bullet that comes out of every gun needs to be accounted for any unarmed suspect.
You're right.
If you release that bullet for an unarmed suspect, I need to know why you shot that. You released that bullet when you had other methods you could have utilized.
If he's fearful for his life, he can use deadly force. We had a show on that.
There's no reason
to kill a man because you were scared. You're fearful, so you just, what's the guy, brother name, got shot in the car with his girl and his baby in the car?
Philando.
Right.
Yeah, Philando.
Hey, he did everything he's supposed to do.
He did everything he's supposed to do.
And they still killed him.
And then he still bought for $45,000.
They got tasers, man. They got tasers. They ain't had to shoot the man to kill him. They could have shot him with a taser.
He didn't see a gun.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, they didn't even have to shoot him. Period. But I mean, if they was gonna shoot him, they could have tasered him. They didn't have to shoot deadly force. But guess what? I'm trying to tell you, man. You don't have to believe this, but it depends on who's sitting in that car. Because if that was the case, then it would be just as many as Caucasians and other nationalities getting shot like us. But why is it not like that? Because they doing something different when they confronting them as opposed to us. There has to be. Otherwise, the hue in the crowd would be just as loud for everybody else too. But they would be shooting everybody the same way, but they not. So what'd that tell you?
I think it's 7% Caucasians are the unarmed victims. It's 7%. Are Caucasian, like 14 is black. But y'all taking account that Caucasians are 60%, 60-some percent of the population, and we're like 12% of the population. So, you understand? It's disproportionate.
The same thing with the boy that's shooting down south in that church. You know, they didn't shoot him when they wouldn't arrest him. The young white guy.
I heard they took him to McDonald's.
Yeah.
They didn't shoot him.
Burger King.
And had it would have been a black guy, they would have went there and threatened the people, not even shot them. They'd have come up on them and could have killed them, and nothing would have happened. And shot them 15, 16 times. Here's a guy who killed all those people. They didn't even shoot at him. They didn't shoot. Not one gun.
And took him to Burger King.
Nope.
Go figure that out.
And that's something.
Put a protective vest on him.
And if I would have been a cop that day, I would have took my badge and took it off and sailed it and would have told the commissioner all of them with the kiss. Because that right there would have frustrated me and made me angry, man. Because I see the injustice in that. Come on, man. And you expect me to go out and rest and shoot up my people, but the same type of thing happened on a larger scale, and not a shot was fired.
Come on. How fair is that, man? I mean, if that's how you expose the police, then what happened to him? Come on.
Well,
that tells me that's not how you
they were the Burger King.
It's a special police that police
and
for
the
us.
Other thing they didn't do is they didn't put his parents' faces on TV. They didn't go through all his family's history. They didn't do none of that.
No,
the way they
didn't.
Do us.
Right.
No, they didn't.
No, they
didn't.
No, they did not.
No. Well, it's a difference. It's a difference of how they treat us anyway. And it always has been. And when you speak on it, I mean, I'm surprised that an officer hadn't called in and said, look, I'm opposed to it. I don't like that, you know. I don't need 40 people to jump on nobody when I'm arresting them. And I don't allow nothing like that. If my partner was to try to do something like that, I would speak to him as a man and say, look, we don't roll like that. We don't need to do that. Or we do have those discussions before we go out on a job or whatever.
Right.
But they'd be quiet. They'd be quiet about it. So that let me know that they either in it or they condone it. Or they with it.
Well,
they don't let me know they agree to it. Because if I don't hear no outcry, I don't hear none of them, voice their opinion about it. Look, I'm tired of it. It's only happening in my community. I understand why the community is getting upset about it. Any community would. I mean, it's only happened to one community. So, I mean, who wouldn't get upset about it? I can understand the hue and the cry from the community. But as a police officer, me and my partner, when we go to do somebody, we do what's necessary to get them under arrest or to affect the arrest. But once he's under arrest, that's it. You don't want to beat the hell out of him, have to shoot him 40 times, or stomp him, beat him half to death or whatever once he's under arrest. All right. You don't hear this.
And that's a great point, brother. And that's why the point about the community speaking up and policing themselves, and because those same police officers of color, they're a part of the community. Whether they live in the community or not, they are people of color. These are their people.
Exactly.
So,
another call. Tom, check. Tom, we're off the air.
Okay.
We just talked.
Right, then I'll talk to you later then.
All right.
Okay. All right. Always good to speaking to you, Carlton.
Always good, Sister Soldier.
All right.
All right,
good night.
All right, bud.
Good night.
All right, see you later.
All right, now.
Okay.
All right, Jay.
All right.
Well, thank you. I'm thanking all y'all for calling, bro.
All right, not a problem.
All right, see you later.
Okay.
Got to an hour and a half. What's next week? Do I do chlorine? Music?